Hello, my name is Kevin Day with the National Community Pharmacists Association. I'm here today with Lyle Pressman and Tim Gallagher from Sterling Specialty Pharmacy in Minnesota to talk about their experiences in specialty pharmacy, working with a couple different partners, and how they've gotten to where they are out of their independent pharmacy group. So Tim, I just want to start a little bit. You've obviously been around in independent pharmacy for a long time, and the specialty pharmacy space is something that I know you guys have grown into dramatically recently. So I'm curious if you can just tell us a little bit about how you've gotten to where you are and some background too on the company in general.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I've been a pharmacist now for 30 years, and I've been with Ace Drug based out of southern Minnesota for 22 years, I guess. We own and operate 20 pharmacies in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa. And, you know, for the last several years, we've been looking at specialty, watching it grow, and trying to figure out what was the best option for us to get into specialty. So a little more than a year and a half ago, we decided to partner with a company called CloudScript. And so we signed up as a member of CloudScript, signed up all our stores, and we're using their software and their hub services to help us to fill our specialty prescriptions. And it's actually gone quite well. Our volume has increased significantly in the past year and a half. It has helped us to get into specialty with less of a capital expenditure and quicker than if we had tried to build it ourselves, I guess. So really for us, we had to hire a patient care coordinator. Actually, we have two now. Both were a couple of our best technicians in a couple of our retail pharmacies. And then we also hired a sales representative that had some pharma sales experience. So that was our investment, and it's gone quite well. And really the next step for us is how do we take it to the next level for our own stores to really continue to grow it and expand. And then we'd like to, you know, we are a member of Smartfill. The owners of our company, the A-Stroke family, also own Smartfill, which is really kind of a buying group, if you will, across the country. And a lot of the Smartfill members are looking for solutions for specialty. So the next step for us will be, how can we help the Smartfill members get into specialty as well?
Sure, that's great. And I'm always glad to hear people that are trying to help other independent pharmacies get into the space. Certainly the growth has been dramatic. And, you know, independents are just trying to take care of their patients, I think, is what I hear at least most commonly, and are facing a big challenge to do that. So, Tim, if you can, tell me a little bit more about the CloudScript program. I don't think a lot of people maybe are familiar with working with a hub and how that functions. I understand, obviously, that, you know, CloudScript's program is their program, and you might not be authorized to talk about everything, but if you can just, you know, share maybe an example of how a prescription would get processed between you guys and CloudScript, so maybe that illustrates what the process looks like.
You know, I can. Let me start, but then I'll kind of turn over to Lyle because he's more knowledgeable. He works with it on a day-to-day basis. But essentially, you know, the process is a prescription comes into the pharmacy either electronically through an electronic health record system, or it could be a fax. There, a lot of these specialty prescriptions, there's forms that are developed where the physician's office can fill out a form and fax it to the pharmacy. So once a prescription comes to us, it essentially gets forwarded to CloudScript. But, you know, one of the first things that has to be done is benefits investigation. So, you know, we have to find out what kind of insurance the patient has. We have to attempt to process the claim. The majority of the time, the prescriptions are rejected because they require prior authorization. So then the hub team at CloudScript would work on the prior authorization for us. And, you know, then if the prior authorization goes through, then we process the prescription. We find out what the copay is. We talk to the patient about whether they can afford the copay or not. And then we work on all different avenues for trying to get the copay reduced, whether it's the patient assistance program through a manufacturer, a copay reduction card, maybe some type of foundation that has financial assistance for the patient. Once we get that done to where we get the copay as low as possible and the patient is comfortable with it, then we order the drug. So the prior authorization work is done by CloudScript. If a prior authorization is not approved and we need to do an appeal, that as well is done by CloudScript, really kind of in the background. So that's the gist of it, but I'll let Lyle talk a little bit more on specifics and kind of timing and how that works.
You do need to use software or some kind of mechanism to track your workflow. In our normal retail practice, it's pretty easy for a pharmacist to say, we get a prescription, we do the intake part, we fill out all the necessary information with the doctor, the drug, the directions, the day supply. That is all really the same, but you're going to spend more time on different parts of it. So the intake's the same. You put in, all the information, the drug, the day supply, the doctor, but you might spend anywhere from a week all the way up to 60 days in the benefit investigation part, just looking at or figuring out the insurance. So about 97-98% of specialty drugs require at least a prior authorization, and then actually probably a majority require an appeal to get it to go through the insurance, basically stating why the patient has to be on that drug, making sure it's the appropriate strength, duration, appropriate drug, make sure they go through step therapy, all those things. And that really does require a background team beyond what your traditional retail pharmacy has because of the time that is needed to finish that step. CloudScript does help us with that, and we kind of work as a team to get the benefit investigation done. And even the coordination with the doctor and the patient, the insurance and CloudScript, everybody has to be coordinated. And using, an online software that everybody can see what's going on in each step and where each prescription is at in that step and how long it's been there are really important things to know. And not only to know to keep your workflow in line, but when you get farther into specialty to get into limited distribution networks of any kind, whether it be third party or for drugs, they're going to ask you how long your medications or your prescriptions are sitting in a benefit investigation stage. They're going to ask you your adherence rates. They're going to ask you for a lot of data points and how well you're managing your specialty patients. And if you don't have a software that can help you track that, you're really going to struggle with your workflow, and you're also going to struggle to get into, say, limited distribution networks. So it is a necessary thing for us to have.
Sure. And that data component and reporting is something that we talk a lot about, especially because you're right, most retail pharmacies, I would say, are not necessarily incredibly experienced in reporting robust data. If you ask a typical pharmacist about their store, the only data point that they're really likely to be able to turn off on the top of their head is maybe scripts per week, and these days maybe immunizations per month or per season. But beyond that, that's probably becomes a stretch to pull out other data. And we know that in specialty pharmacy, they're asking for so much more than just real high level data points. So I'm right that CloudScript is working really hard to help you guys collect all the data for you that you need. Is that true, or are you guys collecting data for yourself on the side, or kind of how does that relationship work on the data collection and reporting part?
I would say CloudScript does the majority of it right now. We're working on some outcomes data on our own right now, but they do really all the timing, like I was talking of before, and they also do like the adherence rates, benefit investigation results, and all of, their software tracks and takes in all of our pharmacist consults as well, so we can look at any consult from any fill, whether it be new or refill. So the majority of it has to be electronic, but sometimes you have to just rely on doing a little bit on your own. So we have a little bit of that on our own right now, too.
Sure.
Kevin, the other thing that's becoming more and more important is patient satisfaction data, patient satisfaction surveys, and as part of the accreditation. And I will say that if a pharmacy wants to get into specialty, they better plan on going through an accreditation process. Otherwise, they'll never really get into it to any significant degree. But one of the things that the payers want to know about is the satisfaction from the patient's perspective. So, that's something we're working on. The challenge is satisfaction surveys that are done by a pharmacy to report about how good or how bad they are may be somewhat biased. So there are some kind of third-party companies out there that are looking at patient satisfaction surveys. Interestingly enough, We recently came from the Asembia, you know, formerly Armada, sure. specialty conference. And one of the presentations, they showed some data on a patient satisfaction survey, and they looked at the largest of the specialty pharmacies, and typically those are, at least some of them are PBM-owned, and one of the largest PBM-owned specialty pharmacies had the lowest patient satisfaction results. So I think that's one of the places, again, that independents can excel, that we know we can provide better service, and hopefully the manufacturers and the payers will take notice when those survey results start coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. And again, that goes right back, I think, to the data requirement piece and the data reporting piece is, you know, independents for forever have said that we provide better service and have amazing anecdotal stories from patients about providing better service, but we don't always quantify that well. So I think the specialty space is going to be a really great opportunity for us to really get some data and numbers behind some of, you know, what we've always believed, and I think even outside of independence generally is believed that independents provide better service for patients. So I think that's really great that that's moving forward, and glad CloudScript is helping you guys to do that. So that you, Tim, you brought up accreditation, and I agree that long term, if you're going to try to really grow in specialty, you're not going to get very far without one, maybe two accreditations. Can you guys talk about where you guys are in accreditation? Or is that something that you guys are in process for or looking at? Or obviously, I think you've gotten where you are so far without any, is that correct?
Yeah, we have. Pharmacies have gone through DMEPOS accreditation, you know, for DME and, you know, Medicare Part B, but we had not gone through a specialty accreditation. We're working on that right now, okay. And what we understand right now is some networks absolutely won't let you in without at least two accreditations, and one that I've heard of may require three accreditations, but you got to start somewhere, so we're working on one right now. You know, I think it's a matter of the payers recognizing some of these accreditation agencies because, you know, obviously URAC is the one that's been around the longest and, you know, is kind of recognized as a gold standard, but I don't know that it's necessarily any better than some of the others that are out there. So it's really a matter of the payers finally allowing some competition in the market. But, you know, we'll do what we have to do. What we found out recently is you may not only need specialty pharmacy accreditation, but again, we may need the DMEPOS accreditation because, you know, there are some Part B drugs, oncology type of drugs that really come under the framework of filling specialty prescriptions, especially if you're doing oncology. So who knows? You know, it could be two, three, four accreditations, and, you know, that's one of the challenges for independents. A lot of them don't want to go through that. So, again, we're trying to find a solution that will help independents get into whatever degree they're interested in the quickest and least expensive manner. So.
Sure, yeah, and it may or may not be that they don't want to go through the process, but I know that some of the accreditations are just incredibly expensive, and if you're not a large store, you know, the cash flow for that can be a challenge. But you're right.
It's cost prohibitive, and I think some degree that's why they do it.
Yeah, so. I think you might be right, but you know, the saying holds true, I think, of if you want to make money, you have to spend some money somewhere. So, you know, we'll see if that can be motivation. So Tim, you brought up oncology as well, and just kind of disease states in general. Can you talk just really briefly, did you guys start with a specific disease state that you were looking to get into, or were you simply starting, you know, to try to take care for your patients, or were you just shooting to grow?
We started with just a few disease states. We actually started with six, and we're up to like 15 or 16 now. I mean, the basic ones that some retail do without any specialty experience are your immunology, like your Enbrel, Humira, and those kinds of medications. Even HIV, a lot of pharmacies do on their own without specialty. But we also started doing like hepatitis C medications, and that's definitely not one we were doing before we started specialty. So you usually kind of pick a smaller area to focus on, and you expand as you get busier and busier. I guess that's what our model was when we started.
Sure, that's great. And I think that's probably a really key take-home message, you know, maybe a third or fourth one here is start with something that you can manage, you know, initially, and don't shoot for the moon right out of the gate. So I don't want to hold you guys for too long this morning. Really appreciate you taking the time. But Tim or Lyle, any last thoughts for other independent members who might be looking at specialty or starting to grow in the space and what they might consider?
Yeah, you know, I talk to pharmacy owners all the time. Almost every week I get a call from somebody that asks questions about specialty. What I would say, you know, from my perspective, I think it's important to embrace it. I think it's important to get involved in specialty, but I will say that it isn't for everybody. If you're not committed to spending some money and doing it right, then you might as well just not do it. But, you know, if you're interested, there are different ways to get involved. You can go the full-blown program and really make the investment and take the time to do it, or you can do kind of a scale-back model. You know, if people have questions, we're happy to help them. They can certainly give Lyle a call or give myself a call.
Great. Appreciate that offer. And again, thanks for spending some time with me this morning. And anybody that's listening on the line, appreciate you guys listening in to NCPA's conversations with pharmacies who are participating in the specialty marketplace. And hopefully you learned something today. Thanks.